What is up? Welcome to Canucks Talk, another day here on a Canucks game day here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd again, solo for the first hour of the show today as Drancer has the week off. Canucks taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. We are broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. As I mentioned, Canucks game day. They're taking on the Jets. 5 o'clock start time out here, Pacific time for the Vancouver Canucks in Winnipeg. So no Drance today on the show. Here's how it's going to look today. At 12:30, Sean Gentile from The Athletic, one of our favorites on the program, he will join me to chat about everything going on around the NHL. I want to get his thoughts on this Winnipeg team as well, given the really impressive start to the season that they've had. More than a start now. We're halfway through. So Sean Gentile at 12:30, 1 o'clock, Landon Ferraro, former NHL player, and now an analyst here on 650 and on Sportsnet TV. He'll join me in studio for the final hour of the show. Lots to get into with Landon around the Canucks, but you can send in your questions for him as well. Again, 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Any thoughts, questions you want to run past Landon, hit me up and I will flag them for later. So Sean Gentile, 12:30, Landon Ferraro, full hour in studio starting at 1 o'clock. Before we do any of that, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 14th. As mentioned, we'll start with the headlines. The Canucks wrap up their five-game road trip with a real measuring stick contest against the Winnipeg Jets. And we can get a little bit more into the matchup, but that's how I'll frame it right off the top. And the other big piece of news going into this one, of course, is the return of Philip Hronek. Rick Tocchet has confirmed that, yes, he will play. That's no big surprise. We talked about it on the show yesterday, flying out to Winnipeg to rejoin the team, get a practice in with them yesterday. Rick Tocchet called him a game-time decision after that practice. But look, as we all kind of figured yesterday, if you're going to go all the way to Winnipeg and the team is only there for a couple of days, you're probably going to get into the game. So good to go, Philip Hronek. He will be back in the lineup. And that means for the first time this year, the Canucks have all of Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, Brock Besser, and Philip Hronek on the ice together. I won't include Thatcher Demko in that. He's available, but Kevin Lankinen will get the start. We'll have more on that in the lineup notes section. So Philip Hronek is back, and I called this a measuring stick game against the Winnipeg Jets. And look, it's not fair just because now you have your top five skaters back in the lineup, and they're not 100% healthy just yet, obviously, with the continued absence of Dakota Joshua. Rick Tocchet described him as week to week after the game day skate today. So they're not 100% healthy, but you've got your top five guys back. One absence, that's normal stuff. That's nothing that's going to, as important as Dakota Joshua can be to this team when he's at his best, that absence is not going to dramatically change how we evaluate the Canucks. You've got those guys back at the top of your lineup. You're going up against a really good Winnipeg Jets team. It's not entirely fair to all of a sudden expect this to look like a completely different version of the Canucks. Philip Hronek is just coming back after a lengthy absence. Rick Tocchet says they're going to have to manage his minutes. It's always a little bit difficult to shake off the rust, to be back to your peak level when you've missed that much time in the middle of the season. You know, there's still some questions about JT Miller playing banged up, Quinn Hughes playing through something, although you wouldn't notice it the way he's still capable of dominating games. Elias Pettersson obviously just coming back from an injury the last couple of games. So we'll see if there's still a bit of a process of all of these guys getting close to at least not dealing with anything physical. You know, and in the case of Elias Pettersson, who knows what it's going to take for him to be consistently at his best. But there's going to be a bit of a ramp up process. But having said that, I think this is still a great opportunity to take stock and maybe get some hints about what this Canucks team will look like over the second half of the season when they face off against Winnipeg tonight. because the Canucks formula, when they've been at their best, has been, look, we have Hughes and Hronek. That's one of, if not the best, defense pairs in the NHL. And you look at just the raw numbers of the way they control play, shot attempts, goals, all of that. Yeah, you can heap the lion's share of the credit on Quinn Hughes, but however you want to divvy it up, that pair gets truly elite results when they're together. So the formula for the Canucks has been, okay, we've got that pair at the top. We're going to get them out there with one of our two best centers, either JT Miller, usually JT Miller, but maybe it's going to start to be Elias Pettersson here. We'll see. And we're going to dominate those minutes, and then we're going to hopefully break even, be fine in the rest of the team's minutes. But we're going to load up at the top of the lineup with our best defense pair, one of our best forward lines, and we're going to win those minutes decisively and be fine everywhere else. That's been the recipe for the Canucks when they've been at their best. They haven't been able to do that in the same way, given all of the constant absences that they've been dealing with this year. And yes, they've had Hughes on a pretty consistent basis, although not for every game. So they've been able to have that element. But I think when you, not just when you're missing Hronek, you know, the impact of that top pair has dimmed maybe just a little bit. But then also when Pettersson and JT Miller are out of a lineup at different spots, it's been harder to stay afloat in the non-Hughes minutes. So now I think we can start to see, and again, it's a difficult opponent, last game of a road trip, all of those things go into it. These guys need to ramp up a little bit as well. But we can start to see, all right, does that formula still hold for the Canucks? Is that still going to be a winning recipe for them for the second half of this season? And I'm really curious tonight against Winnipeg to see, one, if they can decisively win the battle against the top of Winnipeg's lineup, because Josh Morrissey's having another fantastic season as their number one defenseman. Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele and Gabe Vilardi, that top line, they're all filling the net like crazy. That's a really, really good top of the lineup setup for the Winnipeg Jets. So can the Canucks with Hughes, Hronek, and maybe Pettersson, Besser, DeBrusk, if they stay together, can they win that matchup against Winnipeg's top of the lineup? And then the other question is, of course, one of Winnipeg's strengths this year has just been their incredible depth. So the challenge with the Jets and the challenge for the Canucks is, okay, even if you feel pretty good about, hey, we're sending Quinn Hughes out there, so we're probably going to win those minutes, even against Scheifele and Connor and Vilardi and Morrissey, well, you've still got to deal with some really, really good players down the lineup for the Winnipeg Jets. Second line, Adam Lowry, Nick Ehlers. Third line, Nino Niederreiter, Rasmus Kupari, Cole Perfetti. There's talent up and down this lineup that can hurt you. So yes, the challenge number one, I think, is win those minutes at the top of the lineup, but that's still going to leave a lot of tough sledding for JT Miller, for Pius Suter, for Teddy Bluger, for those guys to chip in and make sure they're not getting blown out when they go up against the Winnipeg Jets depth. I'm really curious to see how Rick Tocchet decides to deploy his forwards in particular. Randeep and I talked yesterday about Elias Pettersson getting those matchup minutes against Austin Matthews in Toronto. Obviously, he responds with, you know, his best defensive performance of the season, probably one of his best games of the season, to be honest, which I know is a low bar given how he's played, but still, that was a really impressive performance. If I'm Rick Tocchet, I'm sticking with that. And I know he's on the road, so it's maybe not up to him, but I'm getting him out there against Scheifele and Connor and Vilardi as much as I possibly can. I'm getting him out there with Quinn Hughes, and I'm trying to establish that as the dominant unit for the Vancouver Canucks, the kind of trump card for the Canucks. Hey, we can put Hughes and Hronek out there with Pettersson's line, and we feel good about that matchup against any lineup, any combination that we're going to face in the NHL. If you can establish that, I think you can figure things out down the rest of the lineup. So that's what I'd like to see from Rick Tocchet when it comes to his lineup deployment and his forward deployment in particular in Winnipeg tonight. Now, of course, another big question that's coming up with Philip Hronek officially back in the lineup tonight against the Jets is, and this is a perennial talking point now, should Hronek and Hughes permanently stay together as the number one defense pairing for the Vancouver Canucks? And I got to be honest, I find very compelling arguments either way on this one. Because as I just said, when they are together, they get elite results. They get results that place them amongst the very, very best defense pairs in the NHL. It's really hard to split that up. We know how much Quinn Hughes likes playing with Filip Hronek. He talks about it over and over. Yesterday, you hear him after practice. Man, he looks good, but he always looks good. He's Filip Hronek. Quinn Hughes saying they desperately need him back in the lineup. So you know Hughes wants to play with him, and Hughes obviously sees a lot that Hronek is doing that helps his game, that helped got him to a Norris level, that's helped get him to maybe a Hart Trophy level this year. I get that. It's very, very hard to go away from something like that when you know you have it in your back pocket. Having said that, Quinn Hughes has also looked awfully good playing with Tyler Myers recently. And I'm not sure I want to commit to top pairing Tyler Myers down the stretch here. But is there an opportunity? Look, tonight, Hronek's coming back. Put him in his comfort zone. Put him next to Quinn Hughes. Ease him back into the lineup that way. He doesn't have to match Hughes' minutes. Rick Tocchet said they're going to monitor his time on ice, right? You can get Myers some shifts out there with Hughes. You can do some things to make it a little easier for Hronek. I'm not expecting him to come back and, you know, game one, you put him with Carson Soucy and ask him to go out there and really drive a pair. That's unrealistic. But as he gets back up to game speed, as he gets closer to 100%, I still think it's something that merits a look. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's obviously the best answer. They should never play Hughes and Hronek together again. But you know you have that, right? Even if you decide to try Filip Hronek with Carson Soucy or Filip Hronek with Derek Forbort on a second pair for, you know, a week, 10 days, it doesn't mean you can never go back to Hughes and Hronek. You always have that available to you. That will always be an option. But if you want to go deep in the playoffs eventually, even this year, if you want to turn your season around, establish yourself as a contender, I think it would be really helpful to have different looks you could use. You know Hughes and Hronek gives you an elite option. Why not see what else you can do? Why not see if there are other configurations that can work for you as well? I'm not saying tonight, probably not in the next game either. But if you start to get in a little bit of a roll here, if you start to feel better about your results, because that's the other element. You're scrapping for a playoff spot. I get it. It's a hard time to experiment. It's a hard time just to try things out. But between now and the end of the regular season, we've heard the coaching staff, we've heard management allude to it, even going back to the summer. There's obviously at least some curiosity internally for the Vancouver Canucks to see it. I think it's something you got to at least try to find an opportunity to look at before the end of the season, even if you end up deciding just to go back to Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek. That's the setup for tonight. And I also just got to say, you know, if they win tonight, if they find a way to get that win tonight against a very good Jets team, that's 6 points on this really difficult five-game road trip. Yeah, it would only be 2 wins out of the five, but that's still 6 points considering all of the circumstances. And then you're coming home and the schedule remains tough. You got to think that would be a really, really important lift for the team if they find a way to get those 2 points tonight in Winnipeg. Those are your headlines for today. The broadsheet, and I almost thought we were going to go like two consecutive days, although I guess I quickly included Friedman's report from Hockey Night in Canada in the broadsheet yesterday, but I almost thought we were going to go two consecutive days with no mention of the Elias Pettersson, JT Miller thing, the trade rumors, all of that. Now there is mention of it, but interestingly, seems to all be pointing in the direction of things quieting down. So Darren Dreger reporting that things are, in fact, pretty quiet around the Canucks right now. Not a lot of chatter going on about JT Miller and Elias Pettersson and the possibility of moving them. And then Elliot Friedman with some really interesting comments on the Fan Hockey Show with Matt Marchese and Mike Fuda a little earlier here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Friedman saying basically, and he was in Winnipeg around the team this week, yesterday, Friedman saying that some people in the Canucks actually kind of think it's good that all of this drama got out in public, you know, the rift between Matt Pettersson and Miller, the fact that it was wearing on the team, the trade reports, all of that, that some of the Canucks actually think it's good that got out because it forced people to deal with it. And there's almost a sense of now, well, it's out there. We've dealt with it. We've acknowledged it. We're starting to work on it. And now we can move forward. The worst is over. We've gone through the really hard part. Now we're healthy. Now we can move forward. That's what Elliot Friedman is saying, the sense he gets from the Canucks, and also saying that a lot of people are very, very impressed with the job Quinn Hughes has done as captain navigating the situation. So you add it all up, right? Dreger saying it's quiet, Friedman saying, hey, maybe this is a good thing and we can build from this point. That's the Canucks' point of view. They're fully healthy. It makes a certain amount of sense that management would look at this and say, you know what? Let's see how this team does now. They went through a really rocky, noisy, dramatic period, but we've got all our key guys back in the lineup. Let's see what they can do. Let's see if they can use this as a catalyst, a springboard into the second half of the season to try to look like a Stanley Cup contender, the Stanley Cup contender they wanted to be coming into the year. So a couple of very interesting reports from Darren Dreger and Elliot Friedman. I should also mention Darren Dreger reporting that the Canucks kicked tires on defenseman John Klingberg, who's recovering from hip surgery, has been out long term, but wants to make an NHL comeback. He's an unrestricted free agent. Canucks kicked tires per Darren Dreger, but maybe they're not in the final five or seven teams that would be most keen to sign John Klingberg. And that's not really a surprise, even with their struggles moving the puck. I mean, the last we saw of Klingberg in the NHL, he was very, very, very limited, especially defensively. Now, I'm sure part of the pitch from Klingberg and his camp is, well, we've done the rehab, we got the surgery, it's going to be a different version of the player when they come back. But man, coming off a long-term absence, a long time on the shelf because of an injury, you were already pretty limited when we last saw him in the NHL. I mean, Eric Brandstrom couldn't get playing time in this lineup. I think it would be a very tall ask for John Klingberg to carve out a regular role on the Canucks, considering how the coaching staff views their defense and wants to, considering who they want the minutes to go to, right? The Forwards, the Juulsons, the Desharnais, Susie Myers, etc. Klingberg doesn't fit that mold. Not surprised that they kick tires on him, but also not surprised that there's probably not a fit for him here in Vancouver. To the lineup notes, and mentioned some of this a little earlier in the headlines, but Philip Roenick in officially. Guillaume Brisebois coming out, according to Rick Tocchet. Kevin Lankinen will start. And as I mentioned, Roenick will start on a pairing with Quinn Hughes. But Rick Tocchet says he's going to monitor his minutes. This is all per our Sportsnet colleague, Dan Murphy, who's on the ground in Winnipeg. So Hughes and Roenick to start. Probably won't be every shift together because, Quinn Hughes is going to play his minutes. I don't think they want Philip Roenick to get that many minutes in his first game back after a lengthy time on the shelf. So do we see Carson Soucy, Tyler Myers again? We all know how much that pair struggled in the earlier part of the season. Man, Soucy's season has just been so up and down. I thought it looked like he was turning a corner about a month ago, but he's had some other moments now or some other games where his ice time has been way down, where he's made those key mistakes. Do you go back to Soucy Myers? I might be intrigued in trying Forbort Myers. Keep Soucy's minutes a little bit low. Don't put him back into that situation where he was really struggling earlier in the season. And then, as I said, it's going to be Guillaume Brisebois coming out of the lineup. So it'll be Hughes, Roenick, Forbort, Myers, Soucy, and Vincent Desharnais, I believe, in the lineup, rounding out the defense corps for the Vancouver Canucks. A second straight start for Kevin Lankinen coming off the shutout in Toronto. A little surprised we don't see Thatcher Demko here. Of course, he played in Carolina, and that's a few games ago now with the extra day off between the Saturday Toronto one and this game on a Tuesday. You'd think he'd be rested, recovered enough. I don't think it's because he's not ready to go. I think it's just because, hey, Kevin Lankinen got a shutout, we're going to give him the next start. But you also have to imagine that there's an eye towards getting Thatcher Demko in a rhythm at some point. And this is a big matchup against Connor Hellebuck, against the marquee goalie in the NHL right now, the clear Vezina frontrunner. The thought this might be a game that Demko would want to get in for, that they would want to give Demko, but I also understand, look, you've got a guy coming off a shutout, you've got a guy playing really well, and again, given where the Canucks are in the standings, it's pretty difficult to be doing anything other than playing for the 2 points every night. We'll get to the playoff odds and the standings update in just a second here, but that's the position the Canucks find themselves in, where 2 points are at a premium each and every night. And yeah, are there things you'd love to do with an eye down the road saying, okay, hey, maybe this hurts us tonight, but it'll help us in 3 months? Yeah, I'm sure there are things the coaching staff would love to do like that, but it's hard to find the time to do it. when you're in this position in the standing. So second straight start for Lankinen. I'm curious to see what the usage plan for Demko will be from here on out. Okay, as mentioned, playoff standings update. Calgary wins last night against Chicago, so they are now just barely ahead of the Canucks by both points and points percentage. Both teams have played 42 games. Calgary has 49 points. The Canucks have 48 points. So the thinnest of margins separating the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks for that second wild card spot. But yes, the Canucks now on the outside looking in officially of the Western Conference playoff bar. Dom's model, if you're a believer in that model, still very high on the Canucks' chances to make the playoffs with an 81% chance. A lot of that is because it is not particularly high on the Calgary Flames. It's very low on the St. Louis Blues. So it really only sees the Flames and Utah as credible challengers to the Canucks for that final playoff spot, which I think is fair enough. I know there's been a little bit of Jim Montgomery buzz with the Blues, but they're also 5-4-1 in their last 10, negative goal differential. There's not necessarily a lot screaming, oh, this team's about to get hot and really go on a heater and push for a playoff spot. So it could be the Canucks battling the Flames down the stretch for that last spot in the Western Conference, that last wildcard spot in the Western Conference playoffs. And man, that is not where these two teams, I don't think, expected to be right next to each other in the standings coming into the season. Okay, and finally, looking at the betting odds for tonight, Canucks only plus 132 underdogs in Winnipeg, which, when you consider just how good the Jets have been this year, and I know, look, they got off to such an incredible start. Their form has not been, since that incredible start, their form hasn't necessarily been as dominant, but you still have a bunch of the top individual performers in the NHL, in Connor Hellebuck, in Kyle Connor, in Mark Scheifele, in Josh Morrissey. Gabe Vilardi's having a great season. This is a deep, talented team. A little surprised to see that the Canucks are only plus 132 underdogs. A fair amount of respect, I think, there, especially in the last game of a long road trip for the Canucks from the odds makers. Total is 5.5 goals, plus money is on the over, so the odds makers looking at this, you've got Hellebuck, you've got Canucks team that has struggled to score, you've got a Canucks team whose defensive game has really rounded into form recently, coming off a shutout, you know, two goals to Carolina the night before, a goal against Washington recently, so a lot of low scores across the board for the Canucks, and you can get plus money if you want to take the over of 5.5 in a matchup between Connor Hellebuck and Kevin Lankinen. And on that point, didn't have a chance to mention it really in the headlines teeing up the game, but it's definitely something I want to get into with Landon Ferraro a little bit later. The Canucks plan to beat Connor Hellebuck. This guy is playing exceptionally well in goal right now. Very, very difficult to beat. And for a team that has struggled to generate scoring chances, struggled to generate shots, usually that's the ultimate way to beat a good goalie. Well, you just got to have a ton of volume. And I don't mean just shots from bad areas. Good volume. Well, the Canucks have really, really struggled to do that. How do they find a way? What's their formula for trying to beat Connor Hellebuck tonight? That's going to be a fascinating subplot of this game. That's the whiteboard for today, January 14th. We will take a break, as I mentioned, from The Athletic. Sean Gentile covering the NHL. He joins me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.